ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यतो भवद्विश्वमिदं विचित्रम् संस्थास्यते यत्र स्वावतिष्ठते प्रजापतीनां पत्र एष मध्यम् परं प्रमाणं भगवान् अनन्तः यतो भवद्विश्वमिदं विचित्रम् संस्थास्यते यत्र च भावतिष्ठते प्रजापतीनां पत्र एष मायम् परं प्रमाणं भगवान् अनन्तः यतः from whom abhavat emanated vishvam creation idam this vichitram wonderful samsashyate will dissolve yatra in whom cha and va or avishtate presently exists prajapatina of the prajapatis patihi the lord eshah this mayam to me param highest pramanam authority bhagavan supreme lord anantaha unlimited translation the highest authority for me is the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead from whom this wonderful creation emanates and in whom its sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all prajapatis, the personalities meant to produce living entities in the world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Very interesting purport. Kardamuni was ordered by his father Prajapati to produce children. In the beginning of the creation, the prajapatis were meant to produce large population, which was to reside in the planets of the gigantic universe. But Kardama Muni said that although his father was Prajapati, who desired him to produce children, actually his origin was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Because Vishnu is the origin of everything. He is the actual creator of this universe. He is the actual maintainer. And when everything is annihilated, it rests in him only. That is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. For creation, maintenance, and annihilation, there are three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, or Shiva. But Brahma and Maheshwara are qualitative expansions of Vishnu. Vishnu is the central figure. Vishnu, therefore, takes charge of maintenance. No one can maintain the whole creation but him. There are innumerable entities, and they have innumerable demands. No one but Vishnu can fulfill the innumerable demands of all the innumerable living entities. Brahma is ordered to create, and Shiva is ordered to annihilate. The middle function, maintenance, is taken charge of by Vishnu. Cardinal Uni knew very well by his power in progressive spiritual life that Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, was his worshipable deity. Whatever Vishnu desired was his duty and nothing else. He was not prepared to beget a number of children. He wanted to beget only one child who would help the mission of Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a discrepancy in the discharge of religious principles, the Lord descends on the surface of the earth to protect religious principles and to annihilate the miscreants. Paragraph. There's a curveball. Marrying and begetting a child is considered to liquidate one's debts to a family in which one is born. There are many debts which are imposed upon a child just after his birth. There are debts to the family in which one is born, debts to the demigods, debts to the pitas, debts to the rishis, etc. But if someone engages only in service to the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, who is actually worshipable, then, even without trying to liquidate other debts, one becomes free from all obligations. Kardamuni preferred to devote his life as a servant of the Lord in the Paramahamsa knowledge than to beget a child only for that purpose, not to beget numberless children to fill up the vacancies in the universe. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yato bhavad vishvam idam vichitram sanstasyate yatra cha vavatishtate prajapatinam patir esha mayam param pramanam bhagavan anantaha. Very nice. The highest authority for me is the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this wonderful creation emanates and into whom sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all prajapatis, the personalities meant to produce living entities in this world. One nice thing right away about this verse is Kardamuni is just glorifying the Personality of Godhead, but by so doing, glorifying the Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada is unpacking the implicit meaning of what he's saying, because the previous verse is he made a commitment to Swayambhuva Manu for accepting his daughter, Devahuti, as his wife on a condition. The condition was after a son is born that can look after my wife, I'm going to renounce this ashram, grahastha ashram, and accept, return to renounced position. This process was described by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. It is free from ending. So he hasn't in between said, my father is one of the Prajapatis and the expectation from my father is that I would assist him in making gazillions of children to populate the empty spaces in the universe. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not making that commitment to you either or to her either. Please be clear. I'm not going to make gazillions of offspring. But what I am going to do is, with the assistance of your daughter produce one child that will be so qualified he can deliver the whole world, because that one child will be the personality of Godhead. He has already received this benediction, and the wife will assist. So together they'll serve towards that purpose. So he's saying all of that just in glorification of Lord Vishnu. And the way the Prabhupada presents it in the purport is, his father, Prajapati with a capital P, is desiring to fulfill his service. So his service is populate. Just like Daksha in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. He was Prajapati Daksha. And he wanted his 10,000 sons and his 1,000 sons to assist him in the Prajapati, become the father of mankind, Prajapati, to produce, to fill the universe with many. So his 10,000 sons, 1,000 sons were directed in a different way. And so Prajapati Daksha was very frustrated. Prajapati Daksha didn't understand the higher purpose that Narada was fulfilling. And so he cursed Narada. Narada liked the particular curse. Keep going on Sankirtan all over the universe. We go. Not the same, but similar. Prajapati, the father of Kardamuni, has a similar interest, and Kardamuni is announcing, this time not to his father, but to Swayambhu Manu, I'm not going to do that. Now that sounds like defiance, and that's, you know, that's not good. The religious, all religions of the world teach honor thy father and mother. They have different ways of saying it, but it's a religious principle. So here it sounds like a defiance of that principle. But it's being done in this way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, he who is the source of Lord Brahma and the source of Lord Shiva, who do the program of creation and annihilation, he is the shelter for them. And he himself, during the period of cosmic manifestation, maintains everything. He is the supreme, and as such, he is my supreme authority. And I honor him in that way. The last line, Pramanam Bhagavan Anantaha. He's the father of my father. He's the father of all fathers. Whoever might claim to be a father, who should be honored? He is their father. Aham Bija Pratak Pita. And so, what his wish is my command. Now, we'll go to, how did Kardamuni understand what is Lord Vishnu's wish? Because in the second paragraph it says there's duties. And when you're born, how do you know what your duties are? The duties are assigned through scripture. That's what duty is. Not like, oh, I like this one, I like that one. It's scripturally indicated and through authority understood. I heard a lecture where Prabhupada went on with this Devarshi Bhutapta Nanam Prichinam verse for about 15 minutes, where it was like, you know, putting loads of bricks on your shoulders, and more bricks and more bricks and more bricks. Oh, there's so many duties. You're like, it's not worth it to get born. Deva, the demigods, Rishi, the rishis, Bhuta, the people in general, Bhutapta, your friends and relatives, Mrinam, Pritrinam, and they're described, you know, this is why, this is what, and duty and duty and duty. It's even before you get started. You're in debt. You know, and you're not supposed to be in debt. It's Chanakya Pandit has indicated. Fire and debt. You address it immediately. And before you even do anything, you're in debt. It's like you don't even have to go and take a loan. Besides, the banks won't give them these days. Just get born and you have so many debts. And your whole life is spent paying back debts. So don't become a debtor, right? Don't borrow. Don't become a debtor. So don't get born. But you can't avoid that either by material means. But if you do get born, you have debts. And your whole life is spent in the codes of the Vedas, which are given by, who are they given by? Lord Narayan. So that should indicate what Lord Vishnu wants, right? Do these programs. And one of them, indicated here, marrying and begetting a child, is considered to liquidate one's debts to the family in which one is born. It doesn't liquidate other debts, it liquidates that one. So there's a line of ancestors, particularly the son, because it's the duty of the son to then, by codes of the Vedas, to perform certain ceremonies that if there are ancestors that are stuck somewhere, by the proper performance of yajna by the son, the forefathers are released from that awkward position and they're delivered. That's very nice. So then your debt to your forefathers is taken care of by having a son. Of course, a qualified son. There's lots of sons running around that don't know anything about anything. And performance of yajna for the ancestors. But in Vedic system, that's what having a son means, that they would perform those duties. So, the verse, Devarshi Bhutapta Mrinam Pritrinam Na Kinkaro. Na Kinkaro. That one is not the servant of those debts. Hey, you're released from your debts. But the requirement is that Sarvatmana yak sharanam sharanyam. One has to surrender to the personality of Godhead fully. And by that one thing, all other things are accomplished. Take care of that one thing, you paid all your debts. People in the material world, they're thinking like that. It doesn't work that way in any case, but I'll take one loan and consolidate all my loans, pay off all the little guys, now I have this big loan. This big thing here in my head. Set a lot of little things. Just consolidate them all. At a lower interest. I like that. Take care of this one thing, and all other things are accomplished. This is our definition of faith. Yes? What's that definition of faith? You know the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahi. You know the verse? It's quoted in Bhagavad Gita 2:41, Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi ekeha kurunandanam. So to have that vyavasayatmaka buddhi, how do you have that? it requires faith. What is faith? Faith is the confidence that through achieving one thing, all other things are accomplished. And that one thing, Krishna Bhakti, Sarva Karma Kritahoya. Just get that Krishna Bhakti. Somehow get Krishna Bhakti. By attaining Krishna Bhakti, all other things. You don't have to worry about all other things. It's already accomplished, all other things. Devarshi Bhutaptam Ranam Patrin. All my debts are covered. I have duties. It's just to go down that path again. They are genuine duties. One has obligations. And a person that doesn't take care of their obligations, well, you could say they're irresponsible, but, you know, another way you can say they're criminals. They're punishable by law. I borrow money and don't pay the money. Oh, that's not nice. But, you know, you're punishable by law. You're a criminal. You're a lawbreaker. And then you can clear bankruptcy. Take all my assets, I have nothing. I'll start all over again fresh. That's material law. Spiritual or religious law doesn't work that way. We have debts. We must pay them. And it's uncomfortable to be a debtor. Not, you know, our whole society runs that way, but it's not comfortable. Liquidate debts, and it's very clear. Fire! What do you do? I'm busy with something else. I'll deal with it later. You don't deal with it later. You deal with it immediately. It's fire. And debts are like fire. You don't deal with it later. So now this one thing takes care of all of them. One big downpour of mercy extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Bhava-maha-davagi-nirvapanam. And that downpour is Krishna-bhakti. Krishna, unto Krishna. Devotion unto Krishna. Sarvatmana-yap-sharanam-sharanyam-gato-mukundam-varihritya-kartam. So if someone gives up their duties, parihritya kartam, if you give up your other duties and just do this one duty, you're not in violation. There's no, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sarvadharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Oh, but what about all my debts, all my responsibilities? Not speaking, you know, my worldly debts. Although that's also, I mean, you know, the karmic debts to the so many persons who I'm accountable, and so many duties I should be doing, and so many things. But Krishna indicates to Arjuna, don't worry. Mahashuchaha. Don't have a doubt that you're not going to be held responsible for some sin of neglect of duty. That's a core understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna's argument is, oh, if I engage in this battle, I'll incur sin. And Krishna's argument is, uh-uh. If you neglect your duty, you incur sin. You have a duty. Neglect your duty, you incur sin. Your duty is to protect people. Now people are unprotected because you're feeling, if I do so, I'll incur sin. By neglecting, you'll incur sin. You're obliged. You must. So, back to Kardama Muni. He's got the Krishna channel. He knows what Krishna wants, or Vishnu wants. Three sentences. Whatever Vishnu desired was his duty, and nothing else. That's nice. Second sentence, he was not prepared to beget a number of children. Wait a minute. Vishnu says that they respect your parents, and your parents, your father says, beget a lot of children. But he's not prepared to do that. And so it indicates that's not Vishnu's plan for him, although his father thought so. And the third sentence, he would beget only one child who would help the mission of Vishnu. Not only help the mission of Vishnu, but be an incarnation of Vishnu. Kapiladeva. So it takes, there are orders of duty. This is one of the things that's confusing, to say the least, for people that are religious minded. For the people that aren't religious minded, it's not confusing at all. They don't obey anything to do with religion. But those that are religious minded, here's this duty, but then there's that duty, what should I do? And it's one of the questions that the Yaksha asked Maharaj Yudhisthira at the lake, where the Yaksha said, how does one understand duties? It's very complicated, isn't it? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, yes, it's very complicated, definitely very complicated. Just to try to sort out, here's this duty, here's that duty, what should I do? And technically, the learned personalities were expected to direct, this is your higher duty, and you can subordinate this lesser duty to the higher duty. Or by performing this higher duty, it absolves you of this lesser duty. But who is to decide that? Certainly not tattadevi karojana, not people in general. They need shreshta, they need the qualified persons, the best amongst them. And those are the ones to decide. And the best amongst shreshta are the parama shreshta, the most qualified. So, mahajanas, mahajanayena katasa panta. So, Kardamuni has great fortune. He's a pure devotee. So he has this, he has the Krishna channel. He knows what Vishnu's wish is for him. And his duty, his higher duty, is to both himself and his wife to qualify themselves in such a manner that the personality of Godhead will appear as their son and deliver his wife. So he's not being negligent in the matters of his household duties. And for the society in general. It's very easy, biologically, as long as one is healthy, it's very easy to produce lots of children. But as Mike Prabhupada says, pigs have a better job of it. Pigs can produce 12, 15 offspring a year. And human beings can't do that. So pigs are better. If, you know, if that's the standard, just producing more. That's not the standard. By one qualified, this is the verse from yesterday, one qualified person can deliver so many qualified persons, and that's the plan of the Lord. On the other hand, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if I could, of course he could, but he's saying it instructively, if I could produce one God-conscious child, I would produce many God-conscious children. But I don't have that qualification. So to produce God-conscious children, that's the duty of the parent, not big litters of so many unqualified persons that need to be regulated by the codes of the Vedas. So it's stated in this verse and the previous, this purport and the previous purport, he wants to follow the Paramahamsa path. And the Paramahamsa path may also become and grihastha. But the purpose of that is not simply producing oodles of children, but qualified souls. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a number of children, but he produced qualified son who, the work that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did was just incredible. So that's the householder's mandate. And that's what he's speaking specifically in such a beautiful way. It's just glorifying the personality of Godhead or Vishnu. In devotee's life, sometimes it's challenging. There's this expectation, that expectation, this duty, that responsibility. I'm accountable to so many people, what do I do? One thing to consider is the plan of the personality of Godhead, or all these lesser things, when properly done, they're meant to lead one to the ultimate thing. And by performing the ultimate thing properly, not cosmetically, but not genuinely, by becoming fixed in devotion to the personality of Godhead, that takes care of all other things. That should be the faith of a practicing Vaishnava. So, I'm going to end class. If I may ask your permission, I need to go use the restroom and I'll come right back. Hare Krishna. We have questions. Yes.
Well, in the case of Cardinal Muni, he had that ability to access Krishna's desire.
What about the rest of us?
Ordinary devotees. How would they do that? Because if we can answer, they will know that the spiritual master. But then there are so many other factors involved in finding for a particular responsibility or role in Krishna consciousness.
The formula that's abundantly present in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is the phrase under the direction of. We apply the process of devotional service under the direction of. In principle, one can understand in a broad stroke that surrender under the personality of Godhead is the priority. What will best facilitate that is how to determine the lesser considerations. Now sometimes that's not clear to somebody. I had some discussion just before coming here, somebody born in India, when I was small, my parents worshipped Lord Shiva. And then my mother died, and when my mother died, it was difficult for me, and I did a lot of soul searching and reading, and I came to the conclusion, especially from reading Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme. Now, what about worship of Lord Shiva that I did when I was little? Where does that go? But supposing somebody, so those kinds of questions, but supposing somebody doesn't, you know, someone doesn't even have that understanding that devotional service unto Krishna is the fruit of all other duties. See it the other way around. All other duties are meant to bring one to that position of surrendering unto the personality of Godhead. And if that surrender unto the personality of Godhead does not come, then as yet those duties have not borne proper fruit. So that faith may not have awakened, and then the individual who's giving guidance to that person needs to very carefully measure, evaluate the faith. Not only know what the conclusion is, but also understand how to properly nurture their faith. So each individual needs someone to guide them. If they're not Cardinal Muni or Maharaj Parikshit or somebody of such caliber, they need them. And if they don't have, they won't know. They'll do something with, you know, one degree of conviction or another, but we require guidance under the direction of someone who's qualified.
Even in the case of such exalted personalities, my cousin, it appears that it would be natural to at least consult the immediate authority, his father. This is what I think.
That dynamic isn't explored here. Maybe he did, but that's not discussed.
My point in saying this is it's not that it is definitely that he is defined as father.
Well, my point is, whatever dialogue he's had with his father or not, he knows very clearly what his duty is, and he's informing what his service to Lord Vishnu is, and he's informing Swami Rupa Manu. So that there's not any misunderstanding here, this is my service to Lord Vishnu. Before you entrust your daughter to me, this is my service to Lord Vishnu. It's not going to be the other one. I hope that's clear. And he's done it in a very dignified way. So, yeah. Going to your point, there's all kinds of responsible communication that one should make to others, you know, the devas and the rishis and the buddhas and the aptas and the, you know, hiri, I'm becoming a devotee, so I'm not going to be able to do all of the things that you're expecting of me. Because, you know, these are debts. Now the particular thing here is with his father, so that's that approach is easier. But, you know, supposing Karuni's father says, I don't like it. You know, like the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, if they had gone to Daksha to say, our dear father, we're going to Narada Muni's Brahmacharya ashram, is that okay? What's he going to say? No way. They didn't. Narada came to speak to Daksha, but it wasn't seeking permission, it was giving him the good news. So there may be circumstances, you know, from the lives of those who you're guiding, they may not have explained to their parents exactly their spirit of devotion, because it would be too disturbing for their parents. So they're keeping their devotion internal. But they haven't, you know, secured that permission. And they're not in any anxiety, nor are you, because they're operating on a higher platform. That duty is being fulfilled. So rather than disturbing their parents, they're just fulfilling their duty, they're delivering their parents. Even their parents don't know it and wouldn't like it. They're doing it because that's a higher duty. So the details of how such things are expressed to those unto whom one has debts, or unto those who one has some obligation, some accountability to them, that detail isn't discussed here. And it needs to be done under the guidance of a qualified person. From the sounds of it, Karamuni is more qualified than his father. In terms of the ultimate attainment of spiritual duty, yes. I'm hearing about one quarter of what you're saying. I can hear the sound. I'm distinguishing somehow the acoustics. Help. Can you understand? Huh? You're able to follow. I guess I'm half deaf, so try again.
In the class, it says that faith means having confidence in
Bhakti
and the
Bhakti
is Krishna.
Yes.
But in the immature stage of Krishna,
at the immature stage,
in Krishna consciousness, one may not have understanding of what that is. It's
correct. Correct.
How can one strengthen faith.
You have to see where what the source of that weakened faith is, and you address that. You know, gently, kindly, carefully, tactfully, respectfully. But you address what is that? What has caused that weakened condition of faith? And then that's where your energy goes. And sometimes it's a matter of time, a matter of being patient. Encourage those things that where there is faith, and so that strength can come. It's very much depends upon circumstance. You're right with your question, how to address that weakened condition of faith. The phrases that Bhakti Tirtha Swami would regularly refer to is this saying that goes, to raise a child takes a village. So there are many different personalities within the villager. You can say resources to help that child grow. So whether the child is literally a child or figuratively a spiritual growing person, there are multiple resources, and those multiple resources can all be of assistance to address a condition where faith has become weakened or damaged or something. Does that help? Yes? I said Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti.
But there is a question. And the thing is that, suppose the ruler.
What?
Suppose the ruler.
Ruler?
King.
King, ruler, okay.
In due course of their duties, it's a duty.
King has to see that everyone does their duties. Yeah, if the king blows it, everybody's in trouble. I'm not sure what you're asking. You understand what he's asking?
What I got was a computer makes a mistake, and there's a person who's aspiring for Krishna Bhakti. What happens to such a person?
What happens to such a person if the king deviates? What happens to the subject if the king deviates? That's your question. Well, fortunately, Krishna is still God. That's the good news. And Krishna can intervene. Krishna can bang the king inside the head and say, you know, wake up. Or so many things. Through representatives of Krishna, the king can come. So Krishna can correct the situation, yes? If there's discrepancy. Now, the premise that the king made a mistake, Prabhupada addresses in the first canto, where the training of the citizen is the king can do no wrong. If the citizen adopts the critical mentality that says, oh, look at that, there's this fault of the king. Oh, look at that, there's another fault of the king. He's not doing his duty. I'll give a practical lesson from my experience in Krishna consciousness with an individual who was in charge of us went way off the deep end. He like did everything bad in the book, and we were under him. And some of us, myself included, didn't even know it. We were just like happily engaged in Sankirtan book distribution, Hari Bol, going on Harinam and having a great time. Going to Mangalarti, chanting on rounds, having wonderful classes and kirtans, and it was bliss. But there were some persons that were more directly involved in things and knew what he was up to, and it was bad. And then finally, it was disclosed. And he was kicked out. I mean, physically. Here's your bag, there's the door, and there's the steps. And he left. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter that we posted on the wall right by the entrance of the temple room that said, "My dear disciples, please understand that what has happened, you're not responsible for. There's all the wrongs that were done." I mean, everything. They were offering things to the deity that you would never offer to your child, because it was even vegetarian, on the altar. Radha Govinda. And, you know, devotees were told to put it on the altar and offer it, because, you know, he wanted it, etc., without elaborating, and you know everything in the book. So he let us know. I didn't know any of that stuff was going on, but obviously the Pujari knew what was going on. You are not to blame. Please understand that you're not carrying responsibility for this, because you did what I asked you to do. You followed your leader. So the follower, or the king, goes off. The subjects are protected by that obedience to that principle that they're responsible for. Now, while putting that on the door, Prabhupada really got on the case of those that were other senior devotees that knew what was going on and did nothing. They didn't even inform Prabhupada. They just looked the other way. Does that help? Krishna protected. Jitendra. It was Hawaii. There was a group of the Siddhasarup period, and they were saying it was turmoil. It's just the nature of Hawaii, by the way. It hasn't stopped. It's just different versions of turmoil. There's still turmoil. So what Prabhupada was told was, "Srila Prabhupada, we have all faith in you, we love you very much, but there's all this stuff that goes on, we don't like all this stuff that goes on, we just want to be with you." And then Prabhupada didn't, as you say, didn't like that. He said, "You love me, you love ISKCON, because ISKCON is me." Now, so if something does get deviated, there are ways to bring that deviated thing back. One of the ways that Prabhupada told Borijan was, do it better. Don't criticize, do it better. And by doing things in a proper way, it displaces dysfunctionality.